very lucky and feel, I mean, more so than ever, I think, post-pandemic, I feel incredibly privileged that I get to be the, I don't know what you want to call it, the possessor of a what is called a living lineage. In a living lineage, the essence of the teaching is unfolded through the life of the lineage holder. So, for instance, my teacher was a householder, meaning she had a husband and three children. She traveled from country to country because he was the chief of a software, setup company that did like big plants of back then CDs that no longer exists. But yeah, so she lived a very, very different life, and her teacher was a choir master, and so she taught through singing. And so the thing that's really that I find very relieving is that essentially in the context of that, I can put the things I want to teach into the vehicle that is my vehicle. And this is the study groups are the only place where I'm teaching deity yoga, obviously, because it's not, it's a lineage path, not a teacher training path, or, come for a weekend and take, whatever, the work of 20 generations of women and, record it on your iPhone and on your Apple Watch and go and teach it. It's not that, right? It requires trust and it requires participation and it requires a community like we thankfully have nowadays. But I teach the same principles because I'm also a psychologist, a Jungian psychologist, and I'm also a trauma therapist. And I'm a very experienced couples counselor because I've done, 26 years now, which is once again, right? But so I can squeeze these things every which way, and I can teach the same principles in a co-ed workshop, that teaches people how to have strong attraction. And I can teach these principles here in the way that it allows everyone to find something for themselves that is valuable to them about themselves. And that's what the deity yoga is for in this context, is finding places and pieces that want to be discovered or loved or grown or owned. And the rest you can discard. In general, this is not only for the stuff that we've done together over the years, all of us in various ways, but also the things that is your life, right? This also to answer your question, right? You can say that your life is essentially a conglomerate of habits and patterns, some more functional than others, right? That allow the organism that is you, right, to function as optimally as you can make yourself function, right? That's one way of saying it. And so who we are is very clearly on display when you just watch yourself in a regular day. People don't ever like that idea, right? But it's fairly apparent who you are when you look at what you do all the time. And so why practice is useful, besides, there's many other benefits to practice, but why practice is useful is that when you have some form of through line, then you can measure how your life is going based on that through line. This is no news to anyone who's been around for a while, but I'm saying this for linear versus nonlinear, right? So meaning if you do every morning 5 minutes of X, right, then you can see in how those 5 minutes of, let's say, moving what you're feeling go, what's actually happening, right? Did you sleep enough? Did you have too much sugar? Were you stressed? You know, are you super tight? You know, like all of those things you can see, and you can see, oh, today I actually didn't do emails before I did moving, but you're feeling my body's much more relaxed. You know, today I had a difficult phone call and I could barely hang in there for 5 minutes. And so you start extrapolating what is actually happening in your life based on daily practice. Right, so that's the first thing. That's why you daily practice of something, even if it's just a cup of tea, looking at the sun, pulling a card in the morning, right? It's good to have something that gives you a baseline of where you're at. And then you'll go, what do I need for the gaps in my experience of myself in my life, right? So that's the first thing. What do I need for the gaps? What could I do for enjoyment, pleasure, enrichment, skill development, growth? However, I don't like the word growth, but you know what I mean. Enrichment, let's call it enrichment. So that's the second one. And then what are practices that I can use when I'm in trouble? Right? So those are determinations you can make. And so all of the practices we do can be used in all of those ways. So she's going, I can't really release. So there's the gap, meaning there's something that she would like more of. And now she's going, what practice would I need to do so I can release? For most people, that would be nonlinear, but for her, it's linear. How did she find that out? She did some practice. And she went, oh, this is good, right? And then once you go, oh, this is good, you go, what are the things I can do so I do linear, right? And there's, you know, several. But now let's say you want more pleasure, let's say, right? You want more enrichment. Always, exactly. So you want more enrichment, then you got to go, well, is this practice also enriching me? If the answer is yes, great. If the answer is no, then you'll go, how can I make it enriching? What do I need to add to it? Right? So that's the thing. And then, of course, you have the trouble practices, meaning things that de-escalate. You release a deity or an archetype or a flavor that gives you an extra backbone or allows you to cry when you are all pent up or whatever, right? So let's not talk about remedies, but let's talk about filling gap and enrichment. So then you would go, oh, I feel like I could use with a little bit more structure, linear, right? But that doesn't make me feel like, you know, it's that pleasurable and that's fun. So then you stack the practice, so you do the thing you need to do, and then you do the thing you want to do. That's how you combine it then, right? Right. So for instance, if you, let's say, lift weights and you know you need to lift weights, but you don't like lifting weights necessarily, right? Then, yes, then what could you do afterwards that kind of gets you out of that, you know, like really structured thing? Well, maybe then it's a deity or it's dance or it's a bath or it's you know, a tea ceremony or whatever, where you essentially stack that which you need to do to fill the gap with something that you find innately pleasurable, then that gets you back into that kind of flow of enjoyment. And then you've done both. So she's saying, what about visualization when you move? So for some people, this is not true for everyone, but for some people, closed eye motion produces visuals, right? We all have the ability, but some people are just more built towards that than others. The reason why people love psychedelics often is because it produces strong visuals in the kinetic field, right? That's one of the things that's very appealing, because you get like that extra energy towards the visual. But there is people, I'm one of them, like, I mean, I close my eyes, start moving, it's like Avatar or something like that. And so that's, if you can handle that and if you can discipline that, that's really fun, of course. But you can't get lost in it, right? As with all of those things, you can't get lost in them. They're not a thing in itself. They're a byproduct, right? And so you treat them as a byproduct, which means you let that enliven your experience, and when it's done, you just move along. You don't go, what did that mean? Why did I see this and not that? Because then you're focusing on the wrong thing. It's a byproduct. That's quite amazing, and it can be super powerful. And if and of course in deity yoga and when you trace yantras and all of those things, visual acuity is really is useful.